Welcome back, brothers and sisters. When we think of strategy and historical wisdom, our minds often wander through the annals of European history, such as Rome and ancient Greek. But today we're venturing into the vast and vibrant lands of ancient China. The Art of War, a masterpiece by Sun Tzu, is more than just a manual on military tactics. It's brimming with symbolism that, when decoded, offers useful insights applicable to many aspects of our modern lives. We've got 13 chapters to delve into, each packed with wisdom that transcends time. And while our channel often gravitates towards European gems, this Eastern treasure is too precious, too influential to be overlooked. So whether you're here for the strategy, the history, or the sheer art of this text, stick around, because today we're giving Sun Tzu's ancient words a modern twist. The Art of War by Sun Tzu, 5th century BC. Chapter 1. Strategic Planning Fundamentals. Understanding war is crucial. It's about life and death, making it essential to give it serious thought. In planning for war, there are five main pillars. 1. Moral values. It's about ensuring unity so that everyone willingly follows their leader, even when faced with dangers. 2. Nature. This includes elements like day and night, temperature changes, and the rhythm of seasons. 3. Terrain. The specifics of the land, from vast areas to confined spaces, and understanding the inherent dangers and opportunities. 4. Leadership. An effective leader is wise, authentic, compassionate, brave, and disciplined. And 5. Strategy and organization, organizing your army, understanding everyone's roles, ensuring supply channels, and managing resources efficiently. Every general should have these five pillars ingrained. Success is more likely if you're attuned to them. Without them, the odds aren't in your favor. When strategizing, consider: which leader embodies the best moral values? Which general is most skilled? Who has the advantage of nature and terrain? Which side has better organization and discipline? Which army appears stronger? Which team is better trained? And whose side is consistent in giving rewards and imposing consequences? Answering these questions provides a foundation to predict outcomes. Generals who heed this wisdom are invaluable. Those who overlook it might not be the best fit. While considering this advice, always be open to adapting based on changing circumstances. It's essential to know that strategy in war often involves deception. For instance, when in a position to attack, appear passive. When you're preparing, stay discreet. If you're close to the enemy, make it seem like you're distant. Conversely, if you're far, make them believe you're near. Utilize tactics to draw them in. Appear disorganized to catch them off guard. If they seem prepared, always be alert. If they have a strength advantage, avoid direct confrontation. If they're easily provoked, use it to your advantage. Show vulnerability to make them overconfident. If they're resting, keep them engaged. If their forces are united, find ways to divide them. Approach when they're unprepared and be unpredictable. However, these strategies should remain confidential. Victorious generals are those who strategize in depth before a battle. The less planning one does, the more they're at risk of failure. It's attention to these details that determines the likely winners and losers. 2. The cost of conflict. War is expensive. Consider an army with 1,000 swift chariots, an equal number of heavy chariots, and 100,000 soldiers clad in armor. Providing for such a force, even down to minor details like paint and glue, will cost 1,000 ounces of silver a day. That's the price of raising an army of this size. When you're actually fighting, if the victory takes too long, your weapons will get dull, and the soldiers' enthusiasm will wane. Laying siege to a city drains your resources. Moreover, if a war drags on, the nation's resources can't keep up with the demand. When your weapons are dull, your troops demoralized, your strength depleted, and your funds exhausted, rival leaders will exploit your vulnerability. In this scenario, even the wisest person can't prevent the inevitable consequences. Although we've heard of recklessness in war, we've never seen cleverness paired with lengthy delays. No nation has benefited from a prolonged war. Only someone who knows the downsides of war can truly understand how to wage it profitably. A skilled soldier doesn't need multiple drafts of troops or repeated supply shipments. Bring your own war supplies, but get your food from the enemy. This ensures the army has enough to eat. Relying on distant supplies drains the treasury and impoverishes the people. But having an army nearby also causes prices to rise, draining the people's resources. As their resources are depleted, they'll face heavier taxes. The loss of resources and the exhaustion of strength mean that the people's homes will be empty, and nearly half their income will be used to replace damaged equipment and cover government expenses. A wise general, therefore, gets supplies from the enemy. Capturing a single cartload of enemy provisions is worth 20 of your own, and the same goes for their fodder. To motivate your soldiers to kill the enemy, they need to be angry. To benefit from defeating the enemy, they need rewards. In chariot warfare, when you capture 10 or more chariots, reward those who seize them first. Replace the enemy's flags with your own and integrate their chariots into your forces. Treat the captured soldiers well and keep them. This is how you turn conquered enemies into assets. In war, the main goal should be victory, not long campaigns. The leader of armies determines the fate of the people and the nation's peace or peril. 3. Mastering strategic attacks. In warfare, the best move is to take over the enemy's territory without destroying it. It's even better if you can capture their army without a fight. In fact, the true mark of excellence isn't winning every battle, but breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting at all. Top-tier strategy means messing up the enemy's plans. Next, it's about preventing them from combining forces. Directly attacking the enemy's army comes after that. The least recommended tactic? Laying siege to cities. It's a drawn-out process, often taking 6 months or more, and it's risky. If the leader is impatient, he might send his troops rushing in, leading to heavy losses without even capturing the city. A skilled leader conquers the enemy without a fight, takes their cities without a siege, and topples their kingdom swiftly. If he can challenge the empire with his troops unharmed, he'll achieve complete victory without shedding a drop of blood. This is the art of strategic attack. In war, if you greatly outnumber the enemy, surround them. If your numbers are just a bit higher, attack. If you have similar numbers, split your army. If you're on equal footing, you can choose to battle. If you're at a disadvantage, best to steer clear or even retreat. No matter how determined, a smaller force will ultimately be overpowered by a larger one. A general is like the shield of a nation. A strong and well-rounded general ensures a fortified state, but any weakness can be the downfall of the country. Leaders can mess things up for their troops in a few ways. By giving orders without understanding the army's capabilities, tying their hands, trying to run the army like they'd run a kingdom, leading to unrest among the ranks, not assigning the right officers to the right tasks, undermining the soldiers' trust. If your army's unsettled and mistrustful, other rulers will take advantage. It's like inviting chaos and throwing away any chance at victory. Victory boils down to a few essentials: knowing when to engage or back off, skillfully managing both strong and weak forces, ensuring unity and morale among troops, being ready and catching the enemy off guard, having a competent general who isn't micromanaged by the ruler. To sum it up, if you understand both yourself and your enemy, you're golden. You'll come out on top in countless battles. If you only know yourself, for every win, expect a loss. And if you don't know either, you're bound to face defeat time and again. 4. Optimal positioning tactics. The best warriors first made sure they couldn't be defeated, and then they'd look for a chance to beat the enemy. While we have control over preventing our defeat, it's often the enemy that gives us a shot at beating them. So, a great warrior knows how to avoid losing, but that doesn't guarantee they can always win. It's like the saying, knowing how to win doesn't mean you'll always pull it off. Being on the defensive usually means you're not feeling strong enough, while going on the attack suggests you're brimming with confidence. If a general's playing defense, he's laying low, hiding out. If he's on the attack, he's coming at you full force from unexpected places. It's about having a solid defense on one side and a flawless victory on the other. It's not peak excellence if you only recognize a win when everyone else sees it too. And just because everyone's cheering for your victory doesn't mean you're the best of the best. Picking up a feather doesn't show off your strength. Noticing the sun and moon isn't about having keen eyesight, and hearing thunder doesn't mean you have incredible hearing. True brilliance in a fighter is about not just winning, but winning effortlessly. That's why their victories don't necessarily get them praise for being smart or brave. They nail their battles because they don't screw up. By avoiding mistakes, they're basically taking on an already beaten enemy. A pro fighter gets into a spot where he can't be beaten and then waits for the perfect moment to strike. It's like the top strategist who only battles after he knows he's won, while the doomed one jumps into the fight and hopes to find a way to victory later. A masterful leader upholds ethical principles and sticks to a solid strategy and discipline, setting them up to master success. Breaking down warfare tactics, it starts with measuring, then estimating the size of things, calculating, balancing odds, and finally, claiming victory. This process is like a chain reaction. Measurement comes from understanding the terrain. Estimation builds on that measurement. Calculation is based on estimation. The odds are balanced through calculation, and victory emerges from balancing those odds. Think of a winning army versus a defeated one as a heavy weight going up against a tiny grain in a scale. A triumphant force sweeping through is like water gushing into a deep abyss. 5. harnessing and managing power. Managing a massive army is essentially the same as leading a small squad. It's all about organizing and communicating. Whether you're in charge of a big group or a tiny one, it's about having clear signs and signals. To make sure your team can stand up to any challenge and stay steady, you've got to mix up your tactics, both straightforward and more crafty ones. Your team's impact should be like smashing an egg with a rock, understanding both your strengths and vulnerabilities. Sure, you can go head-to-head in any battle, but sometimes using more subtle strategies is the way to win. These clever tactics can be as ever-changing and endless as the skies above or the rivers flowing, always cycling like the days and seasons. Think about music. There are only 5 basic notes, but their combinations create countless tunes. Similarly, with just 5 main colors or basic tastes, we get an array of shades and flavors. In the battlefield, though, there are mainly 2 ways to attack: direct and indirect. Mixing them up creates endless moves. These attack methods cycle back and forth like going in a loop. Who could ever predict all their potential combinations? Launching troops into battle should be like unleashing a powerful river that can even push rocks. Making decisions in battle should be swift and precise, like a falcon diving for its prey. So, a top-tier warrior should strike with intensity and decide quickly. Think of building energy like drawing a crossbow and making a choice like releasing its arrow. In the chaos of battle, things might seem messy, but that doesn't mean you're losing. Sometimes acting scattered is just a strategy, assuming you've got great discipline. Pretending to be scared requires real courage, and faking weakness assumes underlying strength. Masking your true intentions in battle is all about breaking things down and using tactics. The best leaders keep their enemies guessing by using decoys and lures. It's like giving up a small piece to ensure the enemy falls into your trap. Smart fighters know how to combine the strengths of their team members. They don't expect too much from one person, but tap into their collective power. When everyone's energy syncs up, it's like a huge boulder gaining momentum as it rolls down a mountain, and that's what energy in battle is all about. 6. Identifying vulnerabilities and strengths. If you're the first one on the battlefield, waiting for your enemy, then you're fresh and ready. But if you're rushing in last minute, you're likely worn out before the fight even starts. Smart fighters control the game, setting the tempo and not letting the enemy dictate the pace. By tempting the enemy with some benefits or causing some problems, you can make them play into your hands. If the enemy's chilling, shake things up. If they have plenty of supplies, find a way to cut them off. Show up where they least expect you and keep them guessing. Traveling through areas where there's no threat, your troops will be cool and relaxed. The best strategy: attack where they aren't ready and defend where they can't hit you. If your enemy is clueless about where to defend or attack, you're winning. Being subtle and secretive is a game changer. It makes you unseen, unheard, and keeps your enemy's fate dangling. Attack their weak spots and move faster than them, and you'll be untouchable. If you want to battle, even if the enemy has a stronghold, just threaten another spot, and they'll have to react. If you're not feeling a face-off, throw something random their way, and they'll be puzzled. Keeping your plans low-key and making the enemy spread out. That's how you keep your strength while making them thin out their defenses. And if you can bring more firepower to a spot than they can, they're in trouble. Don't broadcast where you're going to fight. Make the enemy scatter, thinking you could attack anywhere. If they bulk up one side, they're leaving the other side open. If they're everywhere, they're weak everywhere. If you know when and where the next battle is, you can rally troops from far and wide. But if everything's uncertain, your army's coordination goes haywire. Even if you're outnumbered, it doesn't mean you can't win. Just play smart, figure out their plans, and find their soft spots. Always be assessing where's your strength and where's theirs. Best strategy: stay unpredictable. Keep them in the dark, away from even the sneakiest spies or smartest minds. Everyone might see the moves that bring you a win, but the strategy behind it remains unseen. Don't stick to one winning formula. Change it up depending on the situation. In war, be like water. Water flows around obstacles and takes the path of least resistance. It doesn't have a fixed form, adapting based on the terrain. Similarly, adapt to the enemy, always finding their weak spots. Just as the elements and seasons change, so should your tactics. No battle is the same, so flexibility and adaptability are the marks of a truly great leader. 7. The art of movement and position. In battle, the general follows the orders of the sovereign. Once you've gathered your troops, you need to make sure they mesh well together. Then you set up your camp. The real challenge is in the tactics. It's about turning tricky situations to your advantage. For example, if you make the enemy think you're going one way, but you take a roundabout route and still beat them to the target, you're playing your cards right. Moving with a trained army is smart, but if you're leading a ragtag bunch, it can be a disaster. If you hastily send your entire army rushing for some benefit, you'll probably be late and end up sacrificing essentials. Push your troops too hard, and they won't all make it. If you try to go super fast, the best soldiers will get ahead, the tired ones will lag, and most of your army won't even get to the fight. If you're trying to outpace your enemy, you'll probably lose a good chunk of your forces in the process. Basically, if you march without supplies or a plan, you're toast. Before making any alliances, you've got to understand your neighbor's intentions. And if you're leading your army through unfamiliar terrain, you better know the lay of the land and have locals to guide you. Being unpredictable in war is key. Sometimes you'll need to group your troops together, sometimes you'll spread them out. Be as fast as the wind, solid like a forest, fierce like fire, and unmovable as a mountain. Keep your strategies secret, but when you act, strike hard and fast. When you win, share the loot with your soldiers. When you conquer new lands, distribute it among them. Think hard before you act. Mastering the strategy of distraction is vital. The importance of clear communication on the battlefield is so high that in the past, armies used drums, gongs, flags, and banners to guide and command their troops. Such tools help focus the attention of an entire army, ensuring unity. This way, brave soldiers can't just rush forward, and scared ones can't easily run away. That's how you manage a huge group. For nighttime battles, rely on signal fires and drums. In daylight, use banners and flags to guide and motivate your troops. An army's morale and energy vary throughout the day. They're most enthusiastic in the morning, tired by midday, and by evening, they just want to head back to camp. Smart generals know when to engage the enemy based on their mood and energy levels. Stay composed and calm, especially when the enemy is in chaos. If you're close to your goal and the enemy is still struggling, relax and conserve energy. If the enemy is confident and organized, it's better to wait for a better opportunity. Don't attack the enemy when they have the higher ground. Avoid chasing after an enemy pretending to retreat. Never get baited by the enemy, and don't mess with an army that's heading home. If you've got an enemy cornered, always give them a way out. And if an opponent's back is against the wall, don't push too aggressively. That's the essence of warfare. 8. Adapting your strategy. A general takes orders from the top and rallies his troops accordingly. When you're in tricky spots, don't just set up camp. In busy crossroads, team up with allies. Don't stick around in risky, isolated places. When you're boxed in, you need a game plan. And if it's do or die, stand and fight. There are paths you shouldn't take, enemies you shouldn't engage, cities you shouldn't surround, and spots you shouldn't defend. Sometimes, even orders from the top brass shouldn't be followed. A smart leader knows the power of switching things up and using diverse strategies. Even if a general knows the lay of the land, that doesn't mean he can leverage it without this flexibility. Similarly, even if you know all the best tactics, you won't get the most out of your team if you're not adaptable. A savvy leader weighs the pros and cons in their plans. If you're hoping for success, ensure your strategies have this balance. Even when things get tough, if you're always looking for opportunities, you can pivot away from trouble. Wear down your opponents, keep them busy, throw them off, bait them, and then have them chase shadows. War strategy isn't about hoping the enemy won't show up, it's about being prepared when they do. It's not about wishing they won't attack, but making sure you're unattackable. There are 5 pitfalls a leader might fall into. 1. Being reckless can lead to disaster. 2. Being too timid might get you caught. 3. Losing your cool over taunts is a weakness. 4. Being too proud can blind you. 5. Being overly protective of your crew can bog you down. These pitfalls can ruin your approach to conflict. If an army's defeated and its leader taken out, you can bet one of these mistakes was made. It's worth thinking over. Chapter 9. Leading troops. Strategic positioning and adapting to the environment is important when moving an army. When traversing mountains, it is essential to move quickly and stay near valleys. When setting up camp, choose high ground with the sun at your back and avoid engaging in battles on steep inclines. If your army crosses a river, don't set up camp too close to it. Avoid confronting an invading force midstream, as it's better to let half the enemy cross and then launch an attack. In river warfare, moor your vessels upstream, higher than the enemy, and with the sun facing you. Avoid moving against the current. In salt marshes, the primary objective should be to cross quickly. If forced to fight, choose a location with water, grass, and trees to your back. In flat terrain, position your army in accessible areas with elevated ground on your right and rear, ensuring safety and a clear view of potential threats. to create favorable conditions, follow some general rules. Camp on high ground and in well-lit areas. Care for your troops by camping on hard ground to prevent diseases. When camping on a hill, choose the sunny side with the slope on your right rear. If a river is swollen due to heavy rains, wait for the water level to subside before crossing. Avoid areas with cliffs, torrents, hollows, tangled thickets, quagmires and crevasses, as they can be treacherous. Instead, lure the enemy into such places, keeping them at your front and the dangerous terrain at their rear. Ambushes and spies may hide in hilly terrain, ponds, hollow basins and dense woods, so make sure to thoroughly scout and search these areas. When the enemy is close but remains silent, they may be relying on a naturally strong position. If they try to provoke a battle while keeping their distance, they might want you to advance. If their camp is easily accessible, they may be setting a trap. Observe the enemy's movements and the environment. Dust rising in a column indicates approaching chariots, while low, widespread dust suggests infantry. Small clouds of dust moving back and forth may indicate the enemy is setting up camp. Birds taking flight could signal an ambush, while startled animals might indicate an imminent attack. Watch for signs within the enemy camp. Frequent running and falling into rank may indicate a critical moment. If soldiers lean on their spears, they could be hungry. If those fetching water drink first, the army may be thirsty. When the enemy avoids seizing an advantage, their troops may be exhausted. Pay attention to enemy behavior. Bluster followed by fear at your numbers indicates a lack of intelligence. Envoys with compliments may suggest a desire for a truce. If your army is equal in number to the enemy's, concentrate your forces, stay vigilant, and seek reinforcements. Forethought is crucial in warfare. If you dismiss your opponent's capabilities, you risk being captured. To build a strong army, treat soldiers humanely and enforce strict discipline. Instill confidence in your troops by showing trust and insisting on obedience. Mutual respect and adherence to commands will lead to victory. 10. Understanding and exploiting terrain. There are six types of terrain: accessible, entangling, temporizing, narrow passes, high grounds, and distant places. Accessible ground is easily traversed by both armies. Here, grab the high and sunny spots first and protect your supply line to have an upper hand in battle. Entangling grounds are places you can leave but might be tricky to reclaim. If the enemy isn't ready, attack them. But if they are and you can't beat them, you're in trouble. Temporizing ground is where no one benefits from making the first move. Even if the enemy tempts you, it's best to pull back, make them come to you, and then strike. For narrow passes, if you get there first, fortify it and wait for the enemy. If they get there before you and it's heavily guarded, don't bother. But if it's lightly guarded, then challenge them. When it comes to high places, get to the sunny areas first and wait. If the enemy has the advantage, back off and try to draw them away. If you're far from the enemy and both forces are equal, starting a fight might not be in your favor. Now, there are six things a general could mess up, and it's on them. Letting the army flee, having insubordination, allowing collapse, leading to ruin, getting disorganized, or facing a total rout. A smaller force against a much larger one? Expect to be chased down. When ordinary soldiers overpower their leaders, there's chaos. And if leaders act on impulse without evaluating the situation, that's a recipe for disaster. A good general knows the land and can size up the enemy, understanding all the risks involved. If a battle will result in a win, go for it, regardless of what the higher-ups say. If it's a guaranteed loss, don't bother, no matter the orders. The best generals are humble, fearless in retreat, and only want what's best for their country and leader. Treat your soldiers like your kids, and they'll follow you anywhere. But if you're too soft and can't assert authority, they'll be as uncontrollable as spoiled children. It's halfway to victory if you know you're ready to attack, but don't know about the enemy, or vice versa. If both are ready to fight, but the terrain isn't suitable, victory's still not certain. A seasoned soldier remains confident and clear-headed. Remember this. Know both yourself and your enemy, and you won't fear the result of battles. Understand the environment and the skies above, and your victory will be total. 11. The nine combat scenarios. There are nine types of battlegrounds: your own territory, lightly invaded enemy territory, highly contested ground, open ground with freedom of movement, critical crossroads, deep within enemy territory, hard to traverse terrain, trapped locations, and no way out situations. When a leader fights on his own land, it's his own territory. If he's just entered enemy land, it's lightly invaded territory. Ground that brings great benefits to whoever holds it is highly contested. When both sides can move freely, it's open ground. A location controlling access to three neighboring states is a critical crossroad. Penetrating deep into hostile territory with fortified cities behind is serious ground. Terrain like forests, steep hills, marshes, or swamps is hard to traverse ground. Areas entered through narrow paths that trap troops are hemmed in ground. Situations where you must fight immediately to survive are desperate ground. On your own territory, avoid fighting. On lightly invaded territory, don't stop. Don't attack on highly contested ground. On open ground, don't block the enemy. On critical crossroads, ally with others. On serious ground, gather resources. On hard-to-traverse ground, keep moving. Use strategies on hemmed-in ground. Fight on desperate ground. Skilled ancient leaders knew how to disrupt enemy formations, prevent cooperation between enemy units, and hinder skilled troops from saving weaker ones. When the enemy was united, they sowed discord. They moved forward when advantageous, and stayed put when not. If you're asked how to handle a well-organized enemy army about to attack, I'd say, seize something they value to make them comply. Move quickly to exploit their unpreparedness, surprise them by unconventional paths, and strike undefended areas. When invading, remember these principles. The deeper you go, the more united your troops will be. Raid fertile areas for supplies. Pay attention to your soldiers' well-being and don't exhaust them. Keep your troops on the move and make unpredictable plans. Put them in no-way-out situations to make them fight as if their lives depend on it. If they face death, they'll achieve anything. Officers and soldiers will give their best. Soldiers in dire situations lose fear. If there's no refuge, they'll stand firm. If in enemy territory, they'll resist fiercely. If there's no help, they'll fight hard. Without being asked, they'll be on high alert. Without being told, they'll follow orders. Without restrictions, they'll stay loyal. Without orders, they'll be reliable. Avoid superstitions, and you'll fear no calamity. If soldiers aren't wealthy, it's not because they dislike riches. If their lives aren't long, it's not because they don't value longevity. Soldiers might weep before battle, but when cornered, they'll fight bravely. A skillful tactician is like the Shuaijian, a snake that attacks with both its head and tail when threatened. An army can act like this snake, uniting with enemies in a crisis. So don't rely only on physical barriers. Establish one standard of courage for all. Managing an army is like leading a single person by the hand. A general should be quiet for secrecy, upright for order, and able to deceive his troops to keep them in the dark. By changing plans and taking indirect routes, he keeps the enemy confused. In critical moments, a leader acts like he's leading his men into danger without an escape plan. He makes his intentions unknown, like a shepherd directing his flock. A general's job is to lead his army into danger. Different strategies suit different grounds. Understand aggressive and defensive tactics and human nature. When invading, deep penetration brings cohesion. Shallow penetration causes dispersion. Know the ground and the enemy. When attacking a powerful state, prevent the enemy from uniting. Deter opponents and prevent allies from joining against you. Execute your plans and keep opponents in awe, capturing cities and kingdoms. Reward without rules and command without prior arrangements. Confront soldiers with the situation itself. Hide your intentions. When things look good, share them. When not, keep them hidden. Place your army in danger, and they'll survive. Put them in desperate straits and they'll be safe. Win by adapting to the enemy's plans. Continuously pressure the enemy's side and eventually you'll kill their leader through cunning. On taking command, block passes, destroy tallies, and stop emissaries. Be strict in council to control the situation. Exploit any openings left by the enemy. Anticipate and control the enemy's movements. Follow the rules until you can fight a decisive battle. At first, be cautious like a maiden, then fast like a hare once an opportunity arises. Chapter 12. Utilizing fire to your advantage. There are five methods of attacking with fire. First, you can set fire to the enemy's camp, burn their supplies, ignite their baggage trains, set their arsenals and weapon stores ablaze, or use incendiary devices against them. To successfully use fire as a weapon, you need to be prepared. You should have the necessary materials ready to start a fire. There are specific times to employ fire in an attack. The ideal time is during very dry weather, and the best days are when the moon is in certain constellations known for strong winds, the sieve, the wall, the wing, or the crossbar. When attacking with fire, you should anticipate five possible scenarios. If a fire breaks out in the enemy's camp, seize the opportunity and launch an immediate attack. If a fire starts, but the enemy soldiers remain calm, hold back and wait for the right moment. When the fire reaches its peak, attack if possible. If not, stay put and wait. If you can initiate a fire outside the enemy camp, don't wait for one to start inside. Then attack when the time is right. When you ignite a fire, stay upwind. Never attack from the downwind side. daytime winds last longer, while nighttime breezes die down quickly. Every army should know the 5 fire-related strategies, track the movements of the stars, and keep an eye out for the right days to use fire. Intelligent commanders use fire to support their attacks, while resourceful ones use water to gain an advantage. Water can be used to cut off the enemy, though it won't deprive them of their belongings entirely. It's unfortunate when a leader tries to win battles and achieve success without encouraging a proactive spirit in their troops. This approach leads to wasted time and stagnation. Wise rulers plan ahead, and skilled generals nurture their resources. Don't move unless there's an advantage to be gained. Don't use your troops unless there's a reward. Don't fight unless it's absolutely necessary. A ruler shouldn't send troops into battle just to vent their anger, and a general shouldn't fight out of spite. If moving forward benefits you, do it. If not, stay put. Emotions can change over time. Anger can turn into happiness and frustration into contentment. But a fallen kingdom can't be restored and the dead can't be brought back to life. Thus, enlightened rulers and good generals exercise caution. This approach ensures peace for the nation and the preservation of the army. Chapter 13. The Power of Espionage. Mobilizing a large army and sending them over vast distances is a huge strain on the nation's resources and its people. It costs a ton of money every day, causes chaos, and leaves people tired and unable to work. Even though armies can face off for years, sometimes everything gets decided in just one day. So, ignoring what the enemy is up to because you're too cheap to invest in some intel? That's not just short-sighted, it's cruel. If you're leading like that, you're no real leader. You're not helping your ruler, and you definitely aren't on top of your game. The thing that sets apart great rulers and top-tier generals? They have the inside scoop. Foreknowledge. And no, they aren't getting this from the supernatural or from some formula. They get it from people who know what the enemy is up to. This is why spies are crucial. There are 5 types of spies. Local spies, people familiar with the area. Inward spies, enemy officials you've turned to your side. Converted spies, enemy agents now working for you. Doomed spies, your own agents deliberately caught to spread false info. Surviving spies, the ones who infiltrate deep, gather intel, and safely return. With this network of espionage, your strategy becomes unbeatable. It's not just about force, it's about having the right information. Your relationship with your spies gotta be tight. Reward them well and keep their secrets. And you've got to have a sixth sense about them. Be kind, be honest, but be clever and make sure what they're telling you is legit. Always be on your toes and use spies for everything. If a spy spills the beans too soon, well, they're toast. And so is the guy they spilled to. Want to crush an army, take over a city, or just take someone out? Start by figuring out who's in the inner circle of the enemy's head honcho. That's where your spies come in. If the enemy sends spies your way, woo them, win them over, and then they're on your payroll. It's this turned spy who'll give you the intel to recruit more spies and feed fake news to the enemy. The whole point of the spy game? Know your enemy. And that top-tier intel, it often comes from the enemy spies you've turned, so treat them well. History lesson. Major dynasties rose because of insiders who switched sides. In short, only the smartest rulers and generals tap into this goldmine of intel from spies. They're as vital as water because knowing where to move your army, that's everything. As we draw the curtains on our exploration into the world of ancient Chinese strategy, it becomes abundantly clear that the essence of victory has always revolved around foresight and knowledge. Our journey through time, unearthing the gems of wisdom from the past, is a testament to the timeless nature of these tactics. For those of you who've joined us today and wish to continue venturing through the annals of history, ensuring a connection with our channel is the key. Here, we don't just recount tales, we breathe life into the legacies and strategies that have sculpted the course of empires. Your support plays a monumental role in ensuring that these legacies aren't lost to the sands of time. We have many more chapters of history to explore, many more tales to unravel, and countless strategies to decipher. Until our next expedition, keep that curiosity alive.